The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Amen. Well, those of you who have been throughout the year or from time to time, whatever you've been able to be here, you know that we've been spending some time focusing on the subject of joy and recognizing that it is a fruit of the Spirit. It isn't something that we hope will come upon us now and then, but it is something that we can deliberately cultivate in our life, and I trust that joy has been growing in your heart. We're far more concerned with, in the preaching of the Word, we're far more concerned with imparting something that goes home with you than something that just is a flash in the pan here while we're together. And I trust that there is a increasing joy on the inside of you, a river that runs deep, sometimes quiet, sometimes not so quiet, puts on display a truth that there is something deep in you that does not allow you to get discouraged by life. Does not allow you to come under the pressure. The Bible says, do not be conformed to the world. The real thought there is, the world is a pressure cooker. Don't let it form and mold you. And one of the ways we do that is by cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, which is a process. Amen? So we're going to kind of wrap up that series. This is the last of that series of messages that I've been preaching throughout this year. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrew chapter 12. Pretty familiar portion of Scripture probably to most of us. And beginning at verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice went then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want to suggest to you this morning, and we know quite well in this house that the gospel that Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom. Wasn't the gospel of salvation alone or per se, nor was it the gospel of the church. It was the gospel of the kingdom. The disciples carried with them the gospel of the kingdom. And there is great joy in us if we understand the kingdom that we are born into. We're translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, and the kingdom that you and I have access to should be a source of great joy. And we've touched on, I'm probably recapping things we've already said over the past year, but the truth is that the kingdom of God is both future and present. One of the things I said early on, and I'll say here again today, one of the great things that can bring you and I joy is you are unkillable. You are destined to live forever. And there is a hope that we have and a confidence that we have in the heaven, in the reality of something beyond this life. And there should be a joy, a residing joy within us for that coming kingdom, which is not yet. Now, it is not a different kingdom than the kingdom that we're already experiencing. It's just in fullness and it's just in completeness. But there should be a desire. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If only in this life have we hope in Christ, we of all men are to be most pitied. Where is a greater hope than what we have in this life? And so there is always this joy for the joy set before him. But how about the joy set before you? There is this joy that is set before us. That's why there are times, even when someone passes away, that there can be an awareness of, yeah, but. Many of you know, it'll be next week, I guess, a year ago, my dad passed away. And yes, there's sorrow and there's loss, but there's also awareness. But oh yeah, but the battle is over for him. And all of you, we've experienced that. So there is this tremendous joy that we can always draw from the kingdom that is yet to be revealed. But if that's the only source of our joy, it's going to be far and few between, because the kingdom is here and it is now, and there can also be a joy for the privilege of living in the kingdom now. And beginning to get just a foretaste of that which is coming. Isn't it neat when you get glimpses? You know, when I get glimpses sometimes when the body of Christ is all in a room and there's just like there's a electricity in the air and there's a buzz in the air and there's love in the air and there's kidding in the air and joking and messing around. How are you doing?
Good, yourself.
You're an awesome dad.
Thank you.
I think heaven is going to be a really funny place. I do. And one of the reasons I think that is because you're going to be there. That is amazing to me. And even more funny than that is I'm going to be there. It's amazing. And we're going to be free of all the stuff and all the trappings and all the idiosyncrasies. And I personally, I don't think we're going to be free of our personalities. I think we're going to be unique. I think there'll be people that you will see from the back in heaven and you'll know it's them. And it won't be because they'll have a new body. So no, it'll be because of their quirk or their personality or their laugh or something. I really believe that. So how'd we get back on heaven? Joy. But so in those times when the congregation is together, whether it's in a small group, some of you experience that in your small groups, and it's like, this is so cool. That's just a foretaste of the joy of heaven, of drawing from one another, of drawing from the body of Christ. And so one of the keys is to be able to have that anticipation and that expectation and that joy for the kingdom that is to be yet be revealed and is being revealed, and yet walking in the kingdom in the here and the now and finding the joy in it. And I got three things that I believe that we can find in the kingdom here and now. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, it is a great thing to be found living each day as though it were our last, but planning as though our world might last 100 years. There's the tension between the two, and we need to know that tension is okay. If you're here this morning and you kind of can fully understand the words of the Apostle Paul where he said, you know what? I'm caught betwixt two places. On the one hand, I could go home and be with Jesus, but on the other hand, it's more important that I stay with here with you. If you're here this morning and you tend to gravitate toward, oh, I would love to go home, I want to say to you, that's okay. It's okay. That yearning, that longing, I've found this. The older we get, the more I believe that yearning grows in us. I think it's part of the Lord. I think it's part of the anointing. It's just preparing us for something better. And there's a joy in that. But there's a joy in living in the kingdom and the here and now. And the first joy that the thing that I believe that we can draw joy from more than anything else, and this particular joy is both livable and attainable and is a part of the coming kingdom and of this kingdom, and it is this: we get to know the King. There is such joy in getting to know the King, in growing an intimacy with Him. And just so we understand, the thing that's going to make this coming kingdom so awesome is the King.
Yes.
It's not going to be the streets of gold. It's not going to be the mansion, although I think that's going to be pretty awesome, or our cabin, or whatever it is. Yes. Personally, for me, I have a cabin. In fact, you might find, if you want to come and see me in heaven, you may have to go out of skirts just a little bit. Just where the river is, maybe, or the stream and the trees, and where sometimes there's nobody. I'm just saying. I was thinking as I saw that elf go by earlier, I didn't have my eyes shut and I wasn't lost in deep worship. So if you believe me when I said that earlier, I lied. I do get lost in deep worship, but seldom is it in a group of people. And seldom is there music involved. It's usually really quiet. And it's just me and Him. And some of you are like that, some of you aren't. I look over at my wife, she's lost in worship, crying. And I think, how awesome. We're so different. And so are you. We're all different. But this intimacy with Jesus, whether it's found in silence or in people or in solitude or in music or in the Word or in prayer, there's just so many ways, and we're all wired different, and there is no prescription. But one of the joys of the kingdom here and now and in the future is the King.
Yeah.
And we get to grow in relationship with Him. And that brings a joy within us. It brings a settledness within us. Because He's the rock. And so when stuff is going on in this kingdom and in this realm and the kingdoms of this world that are being made the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, and when there's shaking going on in heaven and on earth. Did you catch that? In heaven and on earth. There's times when in the spirit there's just all kinds of stuff going on, but there's the solidness of the mediator between me and my Father. And it's the man Christ Jesus. And you know what I like about Jesus? He gets me. He understands me. And He forgives me. But he's been a man. He's been a person. He's been a humanoid. He's been an Adamite, however you want to say it. So He understands. See, and I don't know. Do you know how important it was for Jesus to come as a man? Do you know that the kingdom of God, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and of the Spirit? Jesus had to be born of water in order to be the kingdom's king. He had to be a human. This kingdom is a kingdom that is designed for people.
Yeah. That's good.
In fact, angels can't participate in the kingdom. I mean, they can participate in activity on behalf and behest of the King. But the reality is they cannot sing the song of the redeemed of the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. And Jesus comes born of water. Why? Because the kingdom of God is made up of those who are born of water and born of the Spirit. And there's a tremendous joy in knowing the King. It'll be the joy of the coming kingdom and the fullness of the kingdom that we call heaven. And it is the joy, the greatest joy, of serving and walking with the King now. So that's number one, getting to know the King. Number two, you know what I think is about really cool and brings great joy to us in this kingdom? By the way, it is something that carries over into the other kingdom too. It's the clothes I get to wear. Oh yeah. I have on the robes of righteousness. And and so do you. And it is clothing like I've never had before. I have found myself filled with great joy lately as I have watched the news and seen a prayer that the body of Christ has been praying for some time begin to come to pass. And that prayer has been, Lord, pull back the covers, or Lord, uncover the hidden things, uncover the secret things that have been going on. There has been such a joy in my heart, not because I'm celebrating evil, and I'm being really transparent. I find such a joy in my heart because I realize that my robe is clean and my hands are clean. And I am so aware that that is only true because of the King. But it has brought, and I don't know how to say this, because 40 years ago, my hands weren't so clean. Although I don't understand some of the stuff that's going on, I do understand the stupidity of men. And there's such a joy in knowing that there is a righteousness that you and I can walk in and are walking in, and we are clothed with the clothing of the kingdom. And it brings such joy. Amen. Such a confidence. There's a lot of talk now about having people, men, go through sensitivity training. I've been in sensitivity training for 38 years by the Holy Spirit working within me. Bringing in an awareness that every woman is a lady and every man should be a gentleman. And there's this tremendous satisfaction and joy and peace with the reality of what God is doing. Several months ago, it was made a big deal because Vice President Pence said he had a policy. He didn't dine with a woman without his wife. And people made fun of that. But when he said that, I said, yes. Amen. There's just wisdom in that. And we've had, you know, and I know Pastor Dave's the same. We've as leaders, we've made it a point to always behave ourselves wisely. I remember early on when I first began to just make it clear. In fact, I preached it from the pulpit once, way, way in another church, literally 36 years ago or whatever, that I wouldn't meet with a woman alone. And there was a couple gals in the church that came and talked to me, and they were upset. And they were good friends of ours. They were good friends of Marcy. They were other co-leaders in the church. And they said, you don't trust me. And I said, yes, more than that, I don't trust us. I don't trust me and you. There's a wisdom that God gives that leads to righteousness, that leads to so that there cannot even be a appearance of evil. There is a righteousness that can bring us great joy. There is a robe that we can wear. And we wear it in the here and now, and we'll wear it then as well. Probably 6, 7, 8 years ago, I can't remember, we were ministering in Houston at a Bible school for Marcos Witt's worship training for Spanish. And there's a school in Houston. And the school had an opportunity to go to speak at a men's prison. And they asked if I'd come along and speak. So I did. And we went into this room of maybe, I don't know, maybe 500 inmates, something like that. It was a pretty big room. And I'd never seen it before. I've never seen it or heard of it since. But they didn't have orange jumpsuits on. They had all white. It was pure white. And it was like, so I had some fun with it. And I just told those guys, I said, whoa, how do I get one of those outfits? And they're, no, you don't want to do that. No. But then I reminded them that they might as well get used to it, because they're going to be dressed in white the rest of their life in heaven. It was a cool sight. It's going to be cool. They're even going to wear white after Labor Day. In heaven. Imagine that. I don't know what that's all about, but I just know it's a thing. Yeah, the gals would understand that more than us guys. So there is a righteousness that you and I can walk in, and it can bring great joy to us. If you're here today and you're maybe you're made aware your hands aren't so clean, I want to encourage you. There's kind of the thing where they say, well, when you die, just go to the light. You see it on cartoons, and it's. But I want to suggest, while you're living, go to the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, two things happen. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Yes. As I've just been watching what's going on in our nation, I feel like there's a standard of righteousness that is being infiltrating. I feel like it is the kingdom of God just working and infiltrating. One of the things I think we forget about the kingdom of God is it's like leaven that's hid in a loaf of bread. Yes. And it slowly works. Or it's like this seed the size of a mustard seed that's planted and takes years to grow. Never be discouraged with the growth or of the kingdom of God, because there is a leaven that is permeating every aspect of society, and I believe we're seeing it, and we're seeing it on the national news. And that doesn't mean we celebrate evil, but we do celebrate the coming of light. And if it brings to any of us, man or woman, a conviction or an awareness, I encourage us, let that light draw us. One of the wonderful things about this robe of righteousness that I'm wearing and you're wearing is if I do perhaps get a stain on it, it can quickly be removed by the blood of Jesus at my request. Yeah. If you find that you are convicted that your hands are not clean or your robe is not clean, can I say this to you? Don't try to shout it out. Don't try Tide. Don't try bleach. Don't try any do-it-yourself. Go back to point number one. Get to know the King. See, he's the one that gave you the robe in the first place. In fact, it's not yours, it's his. But guess what? One size fits all. And it isn't in trying to clean up my hands or my robe that, I mean, that'll rob you of joy quicker than anything. I don't care what TV says, Tide does not work that well. But Jesus does. And just simply getting with him and spending time with him brings a cleanliness to that robe. It's called walking in the light, as he is in the light. And there is a fellowship that comes. And the blood that won me the robe in the first place cleanses it from all. No, all. You don't, who laughed? You don't believe me. All unrighteousness. All. So for those of you who missed it, I said it removes all. And she said, yeah, that's another detergent. Removes all. Removes all unrighteousness.
And you have everything to gain.
And you have everything to gain. Well, let's keep this going. Come on. I promise you this, you turn to Jesus and the tide will change. Anyone else? Come on. Bold. And there will come within you such a boldness.
Cheers.
What's that?
Joy.
Joy. Oh, joy. You want to get your hands clean? Just try a little joy in the presence of Jesus. Wash? Okay. Wash. Yes. And it will dawn a new day as you walk in righteousness. What's that?
The dove.
Oh, let's talk about the dove. You got to know that the dove is involved in all of this because it's the dove that brings the reality of the King into our hearts so that when I relate to him, I'm not relating to someone that's outside of me. He's inside of me. And it isn't like a long distance relationship and I hope he's home today and I hope I can make contact. He is home today because he's home in me and he's made his home in me so I can get in touch with him anytime I want. Are we done yet? We're almost done. There is such a wonderful place that righteousness gives us, but we got to move on to number three because I don't want to just talk about intimacy with Jesus and I don't want to just talk about righteousness. I want to talk about holiness. Another source of joy in serving in the kingdom. And this, here's, you get this. The first and the second, you experience both in this kingdom and in the kingdom that is manifesting and is yet to come. This one you can only do here. It's holiness. Now, you might say, well, you already talked about holiness. No, I talked about righteousness. There's a big difference between holiness and righteousness, and the difference is this. Holiness has to do with my activity. It has to do with... holiness means set apart. See, lots of things are holy. This thing right here is holy. This cage around the drum. It's holy. It's set apart for one purpose and one purpose only. You won't see that in the fellowship hall to serve food behind. Your dog dish at home is holy. It's set apart for one purpose and one purpose only, I hope. But I'm talking about a holiness, and the Bible calls it this often. It's a holiness unto God. And it has to do with the joy that I find in serving the King. In being set apart in His kingdom for a purpose. Can I ask you a question? You know I'm gonna. What is your kingdom assignment? What is the assignment that God has given you? And I'm not talking about church assignment. We all serve in the household of faith and we all do things. But what is your assignment in the kingdom? What is your assignment that the King has given you in your sphere, whatever it is? And I'm, you know, I mean, I just want to have you process it in your own heart and in your own mind. Because I believe God gives every one of us a kingdom assignment, and it's related to our kingdom gifts and talents and abilities. Can I say this to you? Don't assume that your will and your desires are always contrary to God's will and desires for you. You know, sometimes we get so religious. And it's like the very thing that God has given us to do, we draw joy from it and we enjoy it and we say, well, that must not be God. No, that is God. He works in you both to will to do and to do His good pleasure. It says in one place, the Lord gives you the desire of your heart. I want to suggest that doesn't mean that you come up with a desire and then ask Him to fulfill it. No, I believe it means the thing that grows in your hearts as a desire is from Him. Some of you have hobbies or things, or, you know, whatever. I don't want to put it into any box, but there's things that you give yourself to that you really enjoy. I want to suggest to you that you just turn whatever that is into a kingdom assignment. And then just enjoy really loud. Be so enjoying it that people begin to ask, what's with you? There's a tremendous joy that we can find in finding our niche. We heard an exhortation this morning, and I want to repeat it, to get out of the boat. We heard an exhortation this morning and a pronouncement that the veil that separates us from getting out of the boat and stepping into our kingdom assignment in a very deliberate way is getting thinner and thinner. And I think if I were to ask for a raise of hands, hands would go up and say, yeah, it's true, it is. He's calling us to shine. Can you imagine this tree out in the forest among a bunch of other trees? Wouldn't that be cool? Wherever you're planted, whatever forest you're planted in, just do this. Just let your light shine. And you say, yeah, but I'm not a very good speaker. What has it got to do with speech? Yeah, good. Jesus said, let your light shine and so that men see your good works. It doesn't have to be, you know, we get so religious. I want to encourage you just to go out and be the brightest version of you you can possibly be in keeping it legal. Amen? There's tremendous joy in serving the King. There's tremendous joy in walking in righteousness while we do it. And there's tremendous joy. But see, and just so we understand, the empowerment of the righteousness and the empowerment of the holiness all comes from the first thing we talked about, relationship with the King. Whatever that looks like for you. And if for you that looks, or it conjures in your mind, I got to get up at 5 a.m. and spend an hour with God. And you hate getting up at 5 a.m. and spending an hour with God. If I were you, I would not get up at 5 a.m. and spend an hour with God. I'm just saying. For years, we've put things on people, and it's like, you... It's true. Who says when, how? If husbands and wives had that kind of schedule and all kinds of demands on our intimacy and relationship, it'd be like, you kidding me? Where's the free flow? Where's the intimacy? It's not legalism. It's joy. It's relationship. And what happens is we preachers, we find what works for us and then we say, well, I guess that's how it should be for everybody. That's silly. Yeah, good. So if you're getting up early in the morning every morning and despising it, I with confidence can give you permission in the Lord to sleep in and find the time that works for you, find the place that works for you, find the way that works for you, that's life and that is joy. Amen. Yes. Can we give Jesus a hand? Well, as we said, we wanted to celebrate and honor Dave and Susie for their awesome service to us over the last 10 years. So I'm going to call the elders and wives up, and I'm going to call Leslie up to give us leadership.
Stole it from her Facebook page, so. Anyway, we borrowed you. So yes, that's our Dave and Susie. We do have. It's a just such a good time to take a moment and honor people for all that they do. Every one of you could have your own celebration because you all have celebrated. You all have given to the Lord. You all have been serving Him with your hearts. But today, since it's the 10th anniversary of Dave and Sue being our senior pastors, we want to honor and celebrate them. And we want to thank God. God, we thank God for you too. We thank Him for the gift you have been to us. And what a good time to have a gift celebration. It's Christmas. Okay. So here we go. And you are going to have a part in this now. So later on, we get to sing a song to them. But first of all, Dave and Susie, we would like you to come up. And would you all stand and give them a great big hand? Yay, Dave and Susie. Come on up. Come on up, honey bun. There you go. Yeah, it's not there. So, yeah. Yay. Yes.
Go ahead and be seated. Just wanted to give a little quick overview of history of Living Waters Church. The majority of the time that the church has been here, Dave and Sue have been here, but not in the capacity of pastor. September 1991 was when Living Waters, Elk River, Way of the Cross Elk River Worship Center was planted by Way of the Cross from Blaine. And a couple of years later, in March of 93, it became time for Bob and Marcy to be set in as bivocational pastors. When the original couple, Roger and Judy Such, who were elders from Way of the Cross, came up here to help get the church started, Bob and Marcy stepped in. In July of 94 was when Way of the Cross released us to be our own church, Living Waters Church. And that time, I believe it was also when you guys came for the first time, when the church started. The first Sunday of Living Waters Church, they came with their family. And so of the about 26 years that Living Waters has been here in the community, starting off over in the cafeteria at Vandenberg Junior High and then later here, 23 of those years approximately, Dave and Sue have been part of the family here. Dave was set in as an elder about a year later after that, and then on November 25th of 2007 was the date when we actually set Dave and Susie in as our senior pastors. So you'll have a test. I hope you got all those dates down, because there'll be a form out on the table when you drop your card in the box to make sure that you understand the history.
And so they have been here and sown into us and listened to the Lord and followed God for us and helped lead us for 10 years plus. And so now, this is me as a friend, all right? So not just as a friend, but I just want you to know that I admire and respect you both so much. First, because both of you have a love for God and His presence. And that is top, what Bob said, the king. And He's in your heart, top, and it shows. And I admire that. And I admire your humbleness. Both of you are very humble. They are humble. You know that it's the Holy Spirit in you. You know it's God and that He uses you. But it all good comes from Him. And everything you have ever done and ever will do is because He's with you, and you are serving your good God. Dave, I have seen you grow in wisdom so much. And yeah, first, just even since I got back, it's like, cool. You have a gift of wisdom, and you have had it, and it is growing. Your wisdom on how to see a situation from heaven and not just from earthly realms. That's a strength. And you're growing in your words of knowledge. When you pray for someone and you get a word of knowledge, it hits home. And it opens doors for them that only God can open. So I see that in you. And Susie, I admire your determination and your courage. This lady When she hears that God wants something for her to do something, it doesn't matter how scary it is, how impossible it seems, she goes for it. And she just says, well, I know I can't do it, but God can. And so I am going to name you the go for it lady, because you go for it. And there's going to be other people speaking, so I'm not going to say everything, but those are the things I have seen in you that I so admire and I so love about you. And the last thing is that you're so willing to allow people to be who they are. You were so gracious when Henry and I wanted to up and leave for a year and then two, and you supported us so well with your prayers and your thoughts and even money, and I know you do that for other people. That is true apostleship and true pastoring. They're willing to get under people and give us a chance to be who we are to be. So that's my thoughts for you. And now I would like Sean and Tammy and John and Deb to come up. We have something.
Oh, there's so much I could say. But I'm just going to go personal. We came here 11 years ago, and that first year we kind of just came and sat right in that back area. Would just leave, and I mean, we had been in church since we were born, kind of people. Okay, so and came hurt and wounded. And what really helped us is that we were not looked upon as commodities to be used. And sorry to say, but that's rare, especially if you've got a music ability or any gifts that are like that. And so I didn't even want to tell anybody that I did this thing, because I just didn't. And when he found out, I remember sitting in his office and telling both of us, and it wasn't just me, because John had been an elder too, and we were both in that same place, to take as much time as we needed. And that's a simple little phrase, but it really reflects his heart and his love for people. He does not use people. He doesn't use us. And so that's what I'm thankful for, because it really did heal me.
Congratulations. We love you guys a lot.
Group hug.
I want to echo John's congratulations. Congratulations on 10 years. That's quite a milestone, actually. I didn't realize how much of a milestone it actually is. You guys both are amazing people. I've seen you countless times lay it all down to see others succeed, Dave. That's your heart. You want to see other people succeed. And like Debbie said, you give people grace to do that in their timing. And I've never seen anyone more passionately fight for justice, Susie. I mean the bike ride. I mean, come on. it's been a beautiful journey, actually, thus far, serving alongside you guys for the past 10 years.
As if you know me, I'd much rather write a letter than talk in front of anybody. But so I wrote it. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it. And a lot of it is what Leslie said, and some of the things Deb. But you know, we each have our voice, and I've learned that from you guys. So I just wanted to thank you for your love for us and our family. We appreciate the example of loving God's presence first and ministry following from that place. David, you see and continue to see potential gold in us and continue to call that out, reminding us that God is good and he has called us to a life of adventure. We see that call to adventure so uniquely in each of your children, and it's been fun to watch them grow. I know some of them. And Susie, you are an inspiration to us as you have dared to dream with God, and then you partner with him in fighting for justice, daring to do what God tells you to do, like ride on a bike from Duluth. You both have spoken and shown by example personally in my life acceptance, love, potential to a place where my quiet desire to hide has ebbed away, to a place of being willing to be seen and to continue to grow in boldness to do what God has put in my heart to do. As a husband and wife, you have shown an example of walking together and with each of your strengths complementing each other in life, in ministry, inside and outside of the church. And we love and appreciate you guys very, very much.
Thank you so much, you guys. We love you.
Yes. Okay, now it's videos, right?
Well, first, I also want to say thank you to you guys just for your love. You always have encouraged me and just accepted me and just everything they've said. I just say ditto. I mean, your wisdom and just always, I just see that in both of you all and just your love especially. And that's what the kingdom's about. When I was praying the Lord, I felt the Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. I know that's a cliche, but I really felt from the Lord he was saying that to you. And that he's just really pleased with you guys. He's just pleased with your hearts. And all of us see that. We just see your heart especially. And I also felt like, here, Lord, I forgot what I was. That you've seen some things in the Lord already. But the Lord says you haven't seen nothing yet. And I feel like this is, you're entering into a new season. It's just going to be a season of some of your dreams and some of the things you've been praying about. And I felt like the Lord said to pray the apostolic prayers. And so I'm just going to pray one because there's lots of them. Power of the Word, right? Yeah. And this is from the Message Bible. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the Christians and especially to our church, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning and knowing him personally and knowing him more. Your eyes focused and clear, Lord, we declare that over them, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do, that you will grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for you and for this church. In Jesus' name.
The Lord showed me three things that I especially appreciate about both of you. One is your transparency. You've always been so real, whether it's in here or in the elders' meetings, just, and that blesses us, and it brings freedom for everybody else. I've loved how you'll show up a little late from an elders' meeting because you'll say, sorry, I'm late, I'm hot, sweaty, and I just biked 40 miles. You know, that was like, wow, that blesses us. And you let people be who they're called to be, and you've called out the jewels in everybody, and we love that. And mom and dad, that was the thing that came to me. I love you like I love my mom and dad. You are such wonderful leaders to us, and you let us be the kids that God made us to be. And I feel safe to go to you with anything like I would a mom and dad. And I just thank you for that. Thank you for the safety that we all feel in you. And so, Lord, I ask that you bless them, Lord, and that you continue to use them, Lord, but you multiply it, Lord, above what they could even ask or imagine. Thank you, Father, that they go to you and you are their leader. And we know, Father, that we are safe because you lead them and they lead us. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for using them for these 10 years, and I'm excited for the future. I just bless you abundantly. In Jesus' name.
Wow.
I don't even know where to start, because what everybody has said, these things have, the Holy Spirit's already put all these on my heart, so it's kind of like ditto, ditto, ditto. But there's a few, so I'm not going to go through repeating what everybody else has said, but there's a couple things specifically that the Lord showed me. One of them, there's a gift on you, and he specifically said you're a generation connector. You have a gift that you're reaching, it's multi-generational, and your heart is unity, and your heart is to serve. And that's huge. It blesses me to see how you guys lay your life down to connect. So that, I know that's from the Lord. And then also a really big, strong word, hungry. You guys are, there's just such a hunger. When I observe how you guys are who you are, that when we're in an elders meeting or when in any space, you're seeking, you're reading the word, you're seeking, you know, counsel. It's always about learning more, wanting more. And there's just this passion you have that God has birthed in you that is amazingly contagious. And it bleeds out to me, I can say, and I would suggest it probably bleeds out to the body. And it's amazing. We're thankful for that. So thank you so much. And the last thing is a personal thing. You guys are such servants. You just lay your life down. You lay your life down like we're your kids. And it's, wow, we're so honored and so thankful. So, Father God, I just thank you right now for our spiritual mom and dad, but just our leaders of the house, Dave and Sue. We just pray blessings over them. We just thank you that you give them wisdom and continued grace to keep walking forward. We don't know where they're going to go, but, Lord, you do. So we just thank you for their protection. We just pray blessings over them right now. Blessings for what they've done and where they're going in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And Carrie got a lot, we got a lot of the same thing, but I just seen the Lord just kind of hovering over you two, looking down at you, just smiling. He's just smiling. And I just seen, like, it's just another chapter. I just seen a book, the book of your life. And it's like the Lord's leading you to another chapter. And that's not leaving. I don't think that means leaving the church. But there's just a whole nother realm and a spirit. And I'm going to just leave you with this. All morning what's been coming to me is, I think it's about 2002 or 3. I was at a service led by an 83-year-old man. It was probably to this day the most powerful service I've ever been in. And that's what God wants me to impart to you. It's just begun. You're moving. And the enemy likes to say, well, you're getting old. No, you've just begun. A lot of years, and you're growing. You're growing. I got the word ever-increasing faith for both of you. Your faith is ever-increasing. Ever-increasing. So, Father, I just leave them with this, the Aaronic blessing. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you, is gracious towards you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. Amen. Amen.
Just one other thing I forgot to say was, I'm not really a feely person, but I really sensed an excitement in my spirit for what's to come. So the Lord is excited. He wants you to be excited and expectant, okay?
We're not done. Okay, we're gonna sing in just a minute.
Okay, Barb and Dan, come on up. We have two little things here. Well, let's see. Yeah, Dave and Sue, we need to have you come up again because we're going to need that whole space in 1 minute. Okay, so.
Okay. All righty. And we've got a thing, a slide to go up so you can. Okay. Okay, Dan's going to do that part. Okay, I'll wait for Dave. Oh, wow is right. Oh, we just love and appreciate you guys. Your support, your love for God, your hearts for God. And it is inspiring. And I don't know what the other word would be, but it just draws us into that, you know. We just desire it too. We love your faith, your strength, Susie, your strength. You are bold. You're courageous. Yeah. And Dave, you challenge me many times. I thank you for that. I do. I thank you for that. I'm growing, right? So just love you guys and appreciate and value your leadership, your love for the Lord. Just love you. So we today we want to bless you and present to you a gift card for Beacon Point Resort, right? Mm-hmm. And that's in Duluth. And some extra cash. Yeah, that's where it is. We've been there. Dan's going to tell you a little bit about it, but it's a great place. And so anyway, a little cash to spend the way you want to. So there you go, you guys.
And that's a gift to you, too, from the elders and the wives. Yeah. Thank you so much. When we had a chance to be at Beacon Point Resort, it was about 2.5 years ago, and it's just a great spot in Duluth, but just like 3 miles up the shoreline from Canal Park, right off the freeway. But yet there's a wall, and you're just, it's you and Lake Superior. It's just a really neat spot, really neat spot. One of my favorite memories there was that with Barb and I, it's a very nice, comfortable condo type of setting, full amenities. We're sitting there having this nice steak dinner, looking out the picture window, and there's two ships crossing. I thought they were going to hit. But you're so close to the bridge in the canal park, the ships are really close. That's so neat. You guys are going to enjoy that a lot. Barb, what do you remember from Beacon Point?
Well, I like the boardwalk. It's right, just right outside of the resort, and it goes for 3 miles into the canal park, but yet you're separate from all the commotion of the canal park. You're kind of in a quiet spot. So it's beautiful. That was my favorite thing of it, about it.
And when you go down that boardwalk and lake walk, depending on what time of year you're there, you can just go up some stairs to the Rose Garden. A little bit further down, if you're hungry for a malt, they've got the famous Duluth Malt Shop right there. Then there's Canal Park with anything that you might want to do, but you guys are going to have a good time. It's a fun spot. So thank you so much.